Hello and welcome to What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in Jasper, Georgia. If you like what you hear in the Bible study today, there's 10 years worth of Bible studies available free of charge at john14:15.org. Now let's turn to today's Bible study. Strangers, which means you're participants. But the new covenant's with Israel. Yes, you've been grafted in. You now participate. And foreigners, you were foreigners from the Commonwealth of Israel. Now you're part of the Commonwealth of Israel. You're part of the children of Israel. But fellow citizens with the saints, Revelation 14:12, who keep the faith of Messiah and the commandments of God, and members of the household of God. Therefore, turn to chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 17. Because you're now part of the Commonwealth of Israel, a participant in the worship of the true living God, a participant in all the covenants. Verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in a futility or perverseness of their mind. Does this mean you can no longer walk on your feet, you have to walk on your hands? No, that's not what it means. Talking about the way you live, the way you conduct yourself. That is, you keep the commandments of God, which you did not before you got saved. Because now you've repented, you've turned from your sin. What is sin? Sin is lawlessness. Give me a verse. 1 John 3:4. I bet she won't ask another question. But, okay. Back to commenting on Hosea 2:19. Go to Exodus chapter 20. To whom does God show mercy? He tells us. In Romans 9, he said, I'll show mercy to whom I show mercy. But he's told us in Exodus chapter 20, verse 6, who that will be. Exodus chapter 20, verse 6. But showing mercy to thousands, that's thousands of generations, according to Deuteronomy 7, 9, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Does that mean we're saved by works? No. We're saved by faith. If you have faith in God, you will love God. If you love God, you'll be obedient to God. That's all it's trying to say. Can I look at your works and get an idea whether you're saved or not? So can God. Deuteronomy 5:10. Moses broke that first set of tablets. God wrote out the commandments again. Did they change? That's why we need to look at Deuteronomy 5. We're going to find it did not change. Deuteronomy 5, verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 10. But showing mercy to thousands, again, as thousands of generations, to those who love me and keep my commandments. How long is a generation? It just depends. Let's take the very shortest it could be in the Bible, 40 years. Well, take just the very shortest, 40. What's 1,000 times 40? 40,000 years. The earth is only 6,000 years old. So this means those who love me and keep my commandments extends thousands of years past the beginning of the new heavens and new earth, which means where we sit today, this still applies. Deuteronomy 7:9, it keeps saying it's thousands of generations. Let me prove it. Deuteronomy 7:9. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments. And love and keep, there are participles, ongoing action. Nehemiah, chapter 1. Nehemiah, right after Ezra, Nehemiah. chapter 9. No, chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 5. And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. And Daniel chapter 9. And then that'll be enough to establish the fact. God said it over and over again. And if God says it over and over again, you know he means it. Daniel 9, verse 4. Daniel chapter 9, verse 4. Then chapter 9, verse 4 says, And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. So let's go back to Hosea. Just a few pages forward from Daniel. That was all about verse 19, where God said, I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. That tells us that at that point, the people have repented and come back to God. They walk in love and obedience. So verse 20 says, I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. You shall know the Lord. Go to Jeremiah chapter 31. What's that mean? Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31 is the terms of the new covenant. The new covenant, where the blood that was shed for it was the blood that Messiah shed for you and I on Calvary's tree. That's the same new covenant. Jeremiah 31:31. Don't go to Jeremiah 62. You can't add them together. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. Behold, the days are coming. Notice days, plural. Started 2,000 years ago at Messiah's day. Says the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant, a brit chadashah, a renewed covenant, with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Notice Israel and Judah are still separate 2,000 years ago. They don't become one nation again till Messiah returns. Verse 32, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. That covenant was external to them. It was written on tablets of stone. It was written such that you'll do it or die. Your slaves, do it or die. Verse 33, but this is the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel. Notice no longer Israel and Judah. So when this gets fulfilled, it's in the kingdom with Israel and Judah having been reunited back into one nation with Messiah as king. So verse 33, but this is the covenant that I make with the house of Israel after those days. That's the messianic kingdom, says the Lord. I'll put my law, my Torah, these little words Torah, in their minds and write it on their hearts. That's not external, that's internal. That's obedience, not out of fear, it's obedience out of love. That's not fleshly circumcision, that's circumcision of the heart. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they all shall know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. That hasn't happened yet. That happens in the day of the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I'll remember no more. Does he forgive them before or after they repent? After. So this shows that they have repented. They've turned back to God with their whole heart, as we read in Deuteronomy 30. God will circumcise the heart that's writing the laws upon them. And they will be obedient to God because they love him. Verse 35 says, thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day. When did he do that? Genesis 1:14. The ordinances of the moon and the stars for light by night. Who disturbs the sea and its waves roar? The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord. So if the sun, moon, and stars are gone, how many of you think they're gone? Not yet, right? If they depart from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Since the sun, moon, and stars will never, ever go away, Israel will be a nation before the Lord our God forever, as Isaiah 66 promises. Thus says the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, how many of you can tell me how many square inches of space there is up there? How many stars are up there? No. And the foundations of the earth searched out beneath. I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they've done, says the Lord. I was just reading this week in the news that they have just found a hole in the ocean. They don't know how deep it goes. They can't find the bottom. So have they searched out the foundations of the earth beneath? Not yet. We're always learning more. Why don't they just get in a wetsuit, put on a scuba tank, and go down to the bottom of the ocean? Yeah, they die. Yeah. Go to Isaiah chapter 4. Isaiah 4 is when Jeremiah 31:34 has been fulfilled. Isaiah chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. It says, and it shall come to pass that who is left in Zion, that's Jerusalem, and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy. Everyone is recorded among the living in Jerusalem. So this is the Messianic kingdom. When the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the blood of Jerusalem from her midst by the spirit of judgment, by the spirit of burning, that means the 7-year tribulation period. The Lord will create above every dwelling place of Mount Zion and above her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. Remember in the wilderness, what did that cloud and fire mean? God's physical presence. For over all the glory there will be a covering. That word covering is chuppah, C-H-U-P-P-A-H. Chuppah is the marriage canopy. Who dwells under the marriage canopy? The bridegroom and the bride. And there will be a tabernacle, a sukkah, for shade in the daytime from the heat, for a place of refuge, and for a shelter from storm and rain. The Feast of Tabernacles is a teaching about the Messianic kingdom. Let's go to Zechariah 13. Zechariah 13 explains that burning process. Zechariah 13, verses 7 to 9. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. That's quoted in Matthew chapter 26. That's about the crucifixion of Messiah. He quotes it in the Garden of Gethsemane, when they've come to take him away. And the disciples are saying, oh, we'll never depart from you. He says, oh yeah, you will. It was written many years ago. Verse 8, shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord. This is about the day of the Lord. 2,000 years between verses 7 and 8. And it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that 2/3 in it shall be cut off and die. 1/3 shall be left in it. So 2/3 of the Jewish people are going to perish in the tribulation period. Daniel 12 says it's going to be worse than the Holocaust. In the Holocaust, 1/3 died. In the tribulation period, 2/3 will die. I'll bring the one-third through the fire. Fire is a picture of God's judgment. We're refining them as silver is refined. You put silver through the fire seven times. How long is the tribulation period? 7 years. You put silver through the fire seven times to remove the impurities and make it pure. That's what's going to happen to Israel during the 7 years. They're going to turn to God with their whole heart, as we read about in Jeremiah 31, 34, and the book of Isaiah chapter 4, verses 3 to 6. And test them as gold and tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. What's the significance of I will answer them? Proverbs 28, 9 says, he who turns his ear away from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. So if they were still rebellious and unrepentant, would God hear them? Would he answer them? The answer is no. So this shows the true repentance that they have gone through as a result of the 7 years of tribulation. I will say, this is my people, on me. Remember that phrase, on me, from the book of Hosea. We're going to see it over and over again. And each one will say, the Lord is my God. Why does it emphasize, and each one will say? Because it's everybody, 100%, all of them. Now, let's go back to Hosea chapter 2, verse 20. Where were we? That was Zechariah chapter 13, verses 7 to 9. Yep. So back to Hosea chapter 2, verse 20. That word faithfulness is the Hebrew word emunah. E-M-U-N-A-H. Emunah. It comes from the same verb of Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, and Abram believed God. That word believed, ha'amin, from which we get the word amen, emunah comes from the same verb. So, emunah is Hebrew word 530. What it means is that God will do exactly what God promised he would do. So all those promises about no more war, no more biting from the animals, peace and safety, your own vine, your own fig tree, God will do every bit of what he promised. And you shall know the Lord. What do we see at the end of Zechariah 13? And each one said, the Lord is my God. Psalm 33, verse 4. Psalm 33, verse 4. Such a simple statement, but so full of meaning. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. What that means is if God speaks a word, I will, then he will. He'll do exactly what he said. You know what? He even does exactly what he said when you don't want him to. Yes. Psalm 100, verse 5. Psalm 100, verse 5. Psalm 100, verse 5. Ki le'olam chasdo. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. So the Lord is good for a little while? No, the Lord is good to all generations. His mercy lasts to all generations. His truth lasts to all generations. If the commandments of God were going to fall away when Messiah was crucified, buried, and resurrected, this statement wouldn't be true. His truth endures through some generations, but that's not what it says, is it? It says to all generations. Yeah, true enough. Psalm 119. not verse 142, because that's the one that says the historic truth.
There are people that believe, you know, like we were saved one way, then there's another way of salvation, and then when we get to the kingdom, then we're going to be saved by works.
Yeah, there are people who believe that people get saved different ways during different, let's call them dispensations. But that the world goes back after the rapture to the dispensation before the church. Well, yeah. I don't believe it either. Psalm 119, verse 30. I have chosen the way of truth. What is the way of truth? That's walking in the Torah, the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. Same chapter, verse 90. Daniel quoted verses 89 a few minutes ago. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. So let's go to verse 90. Your faithfulness endures to what? All generations. You establish the earth and it abides. When did God establish the earth? Back in Genesis chapter 1. And it's still here. God spoke it into existence and his word has not changed. Go to Habakkuk chapter 2. Right before Zephaniah goes Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, then Matthew. Habakkuk. I know I like to say have a cookie, but as you guys have reminded me, it doesn't really say have a cookie, it says Habakkuk. I was just hungry at the time. Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4 is quoted many times in the New Testament. It says, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him. But the just shall live by his faith. Living by faith is not just a New Testament concept. That's why they quote this verse so often. It's the way it's always been. Let's look at Romans chapter 1, verse 17. We'll start in verse 16 so that we know what it refers to. Romans 1:16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Messiah, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who, what's that next word? Believes. That's from Ha'amin. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, that is in the gospel of Messiah, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it's written, the just shall live by faith. That's from Habakkuk 2:4. So what is Paul's proof that the gospel is for all people, Jew and Gentile alike? Because both Old and New Testament tell us that the just shall live by faith. Doesn't say the Jews shall live by faith. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. That goes back to God's character. God's not partial. God shows no partiality. That's right. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. This is Paul's proof text that we're not saved by works. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. It says, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, meaning obvious to the most casual observer, for the just shall live by faith. To live, he's talking about life eternal. How do we gain eternal life? Is it by works? Do we earn it? No, it's by faith. That's what the just shall live by faith. Live is forever and ever. And if one is not obedient to God, God says it's because you have no faith. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm down to my last few seconds, so let's hurry. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Hebrews 10, 38. Now the just shall live by what? Faith. But if anyone draws back, or if anyone turns back, like Lot's wife, my soul has no pleasure in him. So if you turn away, you're no longer walking in faith, and God says, you're no longer one of mine. It doesn't say, welcome my good and faithful servant anyway. No, it does not. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Before I go on,
John 10 talks about that I know them and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand.
Right.
How does that connect to
the That's because dead? They are the ones who have maintained their faith. They did not turn away.
Okay, but doesn't God also help you to stand firm to keep your faith? I mean, if not,
does God keep you from turning away? No. The scripture in many places warns us not to turn away, including Romans 11. What does God say in Romans 11? If God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Why did he trim off the natural branches? Because they turned away from their faith. I know the concept, once saved, always saved, is a great comfort to a lot of people. It's just not supported by the scripture as far as I can tell. Hebrews 11, 6 goes right along. It's still the same teaching. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So how many times does Paul say you've got to finish the race? You can't turn aside. 2 Peter, what did Peter say? Let's look at 2 Peter for a minute. I know I'm going to go over a minute, but I'm answering a question. Yeah, 2 Peter. That it would have been better had they never known the way. Let's see. It's in the left-hand column of the right-hand page. You said what? Of?
2 Peter.
2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. While they, that refers to the false teachers, promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah, they are again entangled in them and overcome, that is, they return to the sinful ways of the past, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it's happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed who were wallowing in the mire. Paul, Peter, John, they all tell us that you cannot turn away from God and think that you're heading into life eternal. But we're out of time, so maybe we'll pick up on this topic in a future date. But we'll pick up next time, Lord willing, in Hosea chapter 2, verse 21.